Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour. I'm responsible for the Gordon Law School of the Spell, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service and public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on singing to the choir when we come back. You know, back in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, but then we turn around and our grapes are imported from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. You know, our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations whose support of the Global 2000 Population Reduction Program is well known. Now, globalization may be good for business, but globalization is not good for you, and it's not good for me. Back in 1940, we all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year or more. Today, we have a three-day supply in our refrigerators, and we believe in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us all forever. But over the past 60 years, we've traded a one-year food supply in our possession for 3 days that may or may not be there. Now, these global 2,000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, or so says the Club of Rome. And these evil madmen with their global 2,000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. And let me show you how you can, from the scripture, live to be a survivor instead of a dead victim. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary. It's a commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, why don't you go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct, 417-273-4967. Well, Nancy Levant on newswithviews.com wrote a stinging article called Singing to the Choir, and it was reported in the International Forecaster this past week. The International Forecaster, dated 6-29-06, midweek reading. If you'd like to get a copy of the report, go to www.theinternationalforecaster. It's all one word, theinternationalforecaster.com. Or you can probably get the same article from Nancy Levant, published June 27th, 06. It's newswithviews.com. It's all one word, newswithviews.com. She says, since the American people have lost their courage, lost their morality, and lost their ability to learn or care about history, the efforts of those who work tirelessly to provide the truth of America's conquering becomes at some point rather pointless, minus the fact that this nation is full of children. The proof positive that Americans could care less is most prominently demonstrated by the fact that most parents still send their children into the public education camps to ensure their children's social global reengineering. And by doing so, they ensure that America's demise, almost as if they desired their children's freedoms and rights to end. And on that note, it is best said that freedom and rights have been all but an illusion to begin with. Freedom for the people was attempted in our new nation, but the same old aristocratic elite corruptions are full and were in full view even during the birth pangs of our country back in the 1780s. There has never been anything new in history when it comes to the world's aristocracies. They have always wanted to rule the world, and they believe in superior bloodlines and inferior bloodlines in everyone else. However, this extremely historical and simple concept is too tough for most Americans to grasp, and our children will pay dearly for this stunning ignorance. Now think of the global eugenic mission of depopulation by two-thirds to three-fourths over the next 50 years in what's called Global 2000. Now, many people over the years have written to me and relayed beliefs that all efforts by American patriots are pointless due to the incompetence of our country. Now, I have argued this point diligently, and I have stated that the poor public is simply a victim of lying and deceiving politicians. The monopoly of global economics, the complicit public education system, and the total corruption of mass media and their transnational corporate owner handlers. And I have felt sincerely sorry for the American people. However, I don't feel this way anymore. Instead, I feel betrayed by stupidity and apathy by the blank looks and faces and the failure of faith in God, righteousness, truth, and justice. The American people would rather pick a political party and stick to historical lies rather than lift a finger, read legislation, read a book, or arm themselves with the facts of America's demise. They just plain don't give a damn. And that in itself is quite interesting. Today, American people do not want to talk about politics. They really, really want to talk about politics. They know the nation's going down, but they have, and but having allowed this little piece of history to transpire while sitting back and doing nothing to stop it, they are shame-faced into abject silence. And for what can they possibly say besides, I did nothing whatsoever for the future of my children? Now, I, for one, and alongside many, many others, have worked day and night, 7 days a week for years on end, to bring information to the American public. I'm not a genius, and I'm not a saint, I'm not even an activist. I live in a tiny house, I work for low wages, and I struggle each and every day to get by. I have rerouted my life and hours around homeschooling and bringing information to the public. I have sacrificed money and all of the finer things in order to serve my nation. Now, in the earlier years, I had no doubt that once the American people realized that their constitution and government was failing, they, or we together, would all rise together to get the usurpers and the tyrants under control. And I had no doubt that armed with such truth as Agenda 21, NAFTA, CAFTA, FTAA, GATT, the Earth Charter, Goals 2000, the New Freedom Initiative on Mental Health, the CFR, Trilateral Commission, Skull and Bones, Intentions and Missions, UNESCO, the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, the World Court, the Bank of International Settlements, the consolidation of our military forces under the United Nations, the military base closings in the United States, and the building of all new military bases on foreign soil, the raising of all of these new paramilitary systems in the United States, including all of these new civilian labor camps, 9/11, mad cow, avian flu, AIDS, and the complete national demoralization by television and all other forms of entertainment, that the American people, I really believe, the American people would step up to the plate and get their politicians and their commissions under control. But I was wrong, dead wrong. I recall a line from Joni Mitchell, which goes, quote, I've got a head full of a quandary and a mighty, mighty thirst. And you know, that's how I feel today. Having too much knowledge, singing to the choir, and while the blank faces of my countrymen confirmed their refusal to care, I talked to one of my nieces the other day. And she's one of those of the privileged class, one of those girls that has everything. She has everything money can buy. I have sent her things to read over the years, which all in total would have taken perhaps 2 or 3 hours to read. Well, the other day she said to me, and let me quote, she said, I just can't read it, Nance. My brain just doesn't want to deal with it. And in addition to that, she has a 9-year-old child. Well, I want to concede that I get it. I realize that Americans are not interested. They will go to work, cut the grass, decorate their houses, go out to the spas or to the movies and watch TV. But they will not defend freedom. Even if it was just a hope and a prayer of some of our founding fathers. Well, you know, time marches on, and as does the history of the world, we have learned nothing as Americans. The American people have learned nothing because we choose to learn nothing. And as for myself, I will continue to sing to the choir. I want my children and I want my grandchildren to know that I cared. I cared about their futures and that I tried. And one day, I and others like me will be silenced in one way or another. We all anticipate the day when we can no longer voice our opinions or relay facts to the public. Multiple silencing missions are on several global burners as I speak, and we all know our days as volunteer public servants are numbered. Many of us have already lost our rights to fly on airplanes and our internet rights. But hopefully, some of our writing will survive this new world order, this aristocratic design. And perhaps they will inspire a future generation in another place and in another time. In history, the American people will be the world's laughingstock, particularly to the elitist families who conquered our nation so easily from within with weapons of debt, mindless entertainment, and other pretenses of freedom. What a way to go. And in spite of the fact that our brains just don't want to deal with it, try to muster the energy and or the gumption to see Aaron Russo's film called From Freedom to Fascism. It's a movie. It won't take a whole lot of effort or a whole lot of concern from you. You can just sit there in a mindless stupor and watch the movie. You can all sit on your asses while watching. You don't have to work. However, you should be forewarned that your brains may be stimulated. So you should probably take an antidepressant immediately following the movie, and then book an appointment for a massage to get the kinks out of your shame and guilt. And then go buy your children some more video games. After all, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. If in doubt, ask your representative. Yeah, your representative or your senator. You know, the ones whose names you don't even know. And then in response to one of my recent articles, someone said that we the people are powerless. And I'd like to take issue with the term powerless. I think spineless is a better word, rather than powerless. Spineless would probably fit better. Knowing what we know, or even sensing that something is wildly wrong in our nation, to continue to allow American elites to plan, scheme, and legislate is beyond all of my comprehension. Now, I may be singing to the choir, but every American is the choir. And our national problem is that America is not singing. At least we're not singing in unison. The Tar and Feather song. Globalist politicians, bankers, and commissions and commissioners must be dethroned. Now deal with that or suffer all the consequences. Now, Devi Kidd wonders what happened to the man in this country, and I concur, wondering wholeheartedly how the male gender can cut grass while their children are trained in schools for slavery. And I wonder how women can decorate homes and themselves in emulation of their elitist enslavers. Spineless is the correct word, not powerless. Sidetracking and ignoring and hoping that it'll all go away, that's the reality of our nation's demise, thanks to the cowardly condition of the American people. We are the choir. Sing now or forever have no peace. Now, should you decide to be a useful American, to come to the aid of your rapidly dissolving nation, I recommend a group called the Americans for Constitutional Enforcement. Nancy Levant is a lifelong writer, a believer of God, country, constitutional, and individual rights. She resides in rural southwestern Ohio. She's worked professionally with children since 1974, and she's an ardent supporter of, you guessed it, homeschooling. Nancy Levant, singing to the choir, newswithviews.com. I thought that was a pretty poignant article. That's why I thought I'd bring it up and make an editorial comment concerning that. And I couldn't agree with her more. You know, I've been in the business now for 20-some years, and I guess I'm one of those that preach to the choir. But I take a little different view than Nancy does, because I don't see that we have a duty, per se, to convince everybody out there that we're right and they're wrong. In looking in the Bible, I notice that God has never taken the position that he needs to persuade you, needs to convince you, that he needs to twist your arm, or in some way persuade you that he's right and you're wrong and that you need to change your ways. I thought I'd give you a couple of illustrations of that. The primary chapter on government in the Bible is in 1 Samuel chapter 8, just 22 verses. And God, in this instance, didn't waste a whole lot of time telling people over here, you know, that they needed to change their ways. Oh, my God, you're making this terrible mistake, and we've got to straighten you out. Let me read this chapter to you. I think that it's right on point here. Right on point. Chapter 8. This is 1 Samuel chapter 8. He said, "It came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second, Tobiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And Samuel's sons walked not in his ways, but they turned aside after lucre, and they took bribes, and they perverted judgment." God, that sounds like Washington today. You know, that sounds like K Street and all of the lobbyists like Jack Abramoff taking bribes and perverting judgment. And remember that this is the government of the living God. I mean, this is God's judge, Samuel, the chief judge in the nation. And this chief judge has two boys, and his two boys are a couple of scallywags, just plain scallywags. So all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and they came to Samuel unto Ramah, and they said to him, "Behold, you're old, and your sons walk not in your ways. They're corrupt. They're filled with fraud. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations around us." They wanted a king. Today we would be saying, "Hey, make us a democracy. We want a democracy like all the nations around us. This is democracy building time. We're over in Iraq making the world safe for democracy." Now, we're the only people in the world, the only people in history that had the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as our king, ruling directly over us. We practiced 759 laws, not 2.5 million laws, just 759. So all that was there. And people were responsible, and people weren't practicing insurance, and they had a law that said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." I'm not kind of wild and off the wall, but... And the people said, "Hey, listen, we don't like this law, we don't like this God, we want to change. We want a king, we want our own king, we want some guy that we can look up to, a champion, like a George Bush, or a Franklin D. Roosevelt, or a Dwight Eisenhower, or maybe a Tricky Dick, or a Bill Clinton." Now, the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Eternal. So Samuel was kind of shocked. He was getting rejected, and he could see that the people were rejecting him. He felt bad about it. We all feel bad when people reject us. We feel bad when we work hard to convey information, and it's rejected. People, and I'm no different than anybody else, I don't like to be rejected. I don't like people laughing at me and making fun of me and mocking me, and you right-wing radical kook. You know, I don't care much for that. So in verse 7, the Eternal said unto Samuel, you hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto you, for they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all of the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto you. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Now here's the whole nation of people about to make a bad mistake. And Nancy Levant is sitting here saying, oh my God, the people of America are about to make a bad mistake. She's pointing out that our turn from private education to public education is a mistake, and that we need to change that. And that our politics is a mistake, our economy and economics is a mistake, and we need to correct it. We need to go back to what we were doing when we were rich, wealthy, and prosperous, when we didn't have all of the social unrest and problems that we're having today. And she's being rejected, and she feels bad about it. And she wrote this article. Jeez, I'm just singing to the choir. Well, join a club. God was rejected by a whole nation of your forefathers. This is about 80 generations ago now. 40 years to a generation. You just go back here about, you know, this is about 1,000 BC. Just go back here about 3,000 years. Let's plug this in, 3,000 divided by 40, 75 generations ago. That was your great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy. 75 generations back, gave his finger to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, said, we want a king like all the nations around us. And God told Samuel, he said, hey, give him a king. Give him a king. Let them be reformed by their own doings. But he said, listen, protest solemnly to these people. Tell them what it is that they're doing wrong. Tell them what the mistake is. Don't get in their way. Don't sit there and waste a lot of time trying to persuade them that you're right and they're wrong. Just give them the information. They're all adults. They can make up their own minds. And let them make a choice. And if it's the wrong choice, so be it. So in verse 10, Samuel told all of the words of the Eternal unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, well, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons, and he will appoint them for himself, for his chariots. That's called a military draft. Or he will take your sons into the army, the military, and send them off to Iraq and Afghanistan, and many of them will be killed and injured there, and to his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties. This is the bureaucracy. And he will set them to ear his ground, to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war. That's the military-industrial complex. Remember that President Eisenhower warned us about. And instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And today, 50% of the women of America are in the workforce. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards and even the best of them and give them to his servants. And that's the fourth plank to the Communist Manifesto, the confiscation of the wealth of the people. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his servants. And that's your income tax and Social Security, your 14 taxes. The king is taking your wealth and giving it to his servants. And he'll take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He'll take your property, he'll take your livelihood, he'll take your taxes, and put them to his work in Iraq and Afghanistan, and building the New World Order. And he'll take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. There'll be a guardian ward relationship in which your politicians won't listen to you. They will tell you when to come in and when to go out, and what to do in between. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you, and the Eternal will not hear you in that day. And a lot of times people will call the law school and say, oh my God, Mr. Gordon, what are we going to do? What would you suggest that we do? And I tell them, well, whatever it is you're going to do, there's one thing that you don't need to do. You don't need to cry out to God. You don't need to pray to Jesus, because he just told you, I ain't listening to that crap. My old granny used to put this. She'd say, you made your bed, sweetheart. Now go sleep in it. Well, boys and girls, we Americans have made our bed. And our God is simply saying to us here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, now go sleep in it. You'll be reformed by your own doings. Now there's some good news that comes out of this. I'll get to that after the break. But the first thing I guess we need to understand is if we're singing to the choir, is it a necessary song? I think that it is. And in fact, our God told Ezekiel, who was singing to the choir, he said, and he said it to Isaiah also, he said, you know, lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people their sins. Tell them what the problem is. That's what Samuel did. He went to the people and he rehearsed in their ears. He says, hey, let me tell you what the problem is. Here's going to be the king. You need to reconsider this. You need to rethink this. You need to take action. You need to do something a little more intelligent than this king thing that you're thinking about. Verse 19, after having been given this warning, verse 19 says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all of the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Eternal. And the Eternal said to Samuel, hearken unto the voice, unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go you every man into his city. You know, the people, after they were warned about it, said, nevertheless, we will have a king. So after you have finished singing to the choir, and the choir rejects your song and says, nevertheless, we will have a king. We will have a war in Iraq. We will have paper money. We will have stocks and bonds. Well, okay. Hell, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. I didn't come here to persuade you that I'm right. I came here to deliver a message. I'm a reporter. Nancy Levant is a reporter, and she is reporting facts, and she's saying to herself, I can't believe that after I have made this report that these people don't listen, don't take action, don't do something. Well, Nancy, it's been this way for 3,000 years. What in the hell has changed in 2006? What was different in 1787? What was different back in, 1520 or 1022 or 300 B.C. or 1000 B.C.? The people have always rejected the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to have our own government. We're going to have our own taxing system. We're not going to practice property and property rights. We're going to practice profit and income tax. So instead of getting pushed out of shape and feeling real bad about the people in general, when you go back and take a look at a second classic example, was Noah's flood. And then God sent Noah to build an ark, and for 120 years, this guy's testimony was in everybody's ears. I mean, everybody's eyeballs could see this guy building this ark. And the truth of the matter is, everybody on planet Earth needed to build an ark. But there was only one guy that actually did anything about it. I mean, everybody else could see what was going on around them, but they rejected it. They couldn't get their brains to wrap around it. Well, boys and girls, I don't have some duty to protect a fool from his folly. I just have a duty to give you information. Now, that's a duty. Once I give you the information, you know, you're free, white, and 21. You're an adult. You're a voter. You're a sovereign. The reins of government are in your hands. Now, go out there and do something or do nothing. You know, it's your problem in life, not mine. Once I give you the report, kind of like an accountant, you know, he gives you the report. Your bookkeeper gives you the report. He says, here's how much money you got in the bank. Here's your receivables. Here's your payables. It's not my problem. Boss, go pay your bills. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed in whole by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, singing to the choir, tonight's review, editorial review, written by Nancy Levant, L-E-V-A-N-T. And you can probably get this report from Nancy Levant at newswithviews.com. It's all one word, newswithviews.com. All right. You can also get it from Bob Chapman's International Forecaster. And that one's www.theinternationalforecaster.com. It's all one word, one long word. TheInternationalForecaster.com, all one word. And it's the June 29th, 06, midweek reading. All right, let's take a look here in the scripture for a couple of three examples of other people who have been sent by God Almighty Himself to preach to the choir, preaching to the choir. Let me start over here in 1 Kings 18. I think it's 1 Kings 18. Let me just check here for a second. Well, let's see. Maybe it's 1 Kings 17. Well, shucks. Maybe I should have scoped it out before I opened my big mouth. Well, I don't have it right in front of me here, and I can't see it. I'm out of market here in yellow. One of these days, I guess I'll do that. I went to dwell with that widow in verse of chapter 17. Flip over here to 19. It's a story about Elijah. And then he said, oh, yeah, here it is. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19. I've got it marked. It's in the wrong chapter. And here's the background of the story. Elijah is like Nancy Levant, and he's out here, and he's giving information, and he's going to and fro in the land. He's the right-wing lunatic fringe of his day, totally out of step with society, practices the law of Moses, practices the law of God. He's hated by the king. In fact, the king and his wife, his wife's name is Jezebel. Jezebel, she got a little bent out of shape, got a little uptight against Elijah, and she said, I'm not going to eat until that SOB is dead. Now, Nancy, George Bush hasn't said, I'm not going to eat until I see your dead body. I mean, it's not that bad yet. You may get that bad, but it's not there yet. So he hasn't said to you, well, I'm going to kill you. Although, if you'll take a look at history, you'll find that the religious men, you know, the so-called religious men of the Bible, never were a threat to the civil law state. The separation of church and state was never a threat to the state. It's always the state which is the threat to the prophets of God. It's not the other way around. The state doesn't need to separate. The state doesn't need to separate church and state. It's the church that needs to separate church and state. The state's got the police power. Churches don't. And so Elijah's out doing his job, sir. And in verse 14, he said, I've been very jealous for the eternal God, the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword, and I even only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. That's Elijah. He said, the people have broken the covenant, they won't practice the law, and now they seek my life, they want to kill me. So the eternal said to Elijah, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall you appoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and some other guy here, I can't pronounce his name, shall you anoint to be the prophet in your room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. So Elijah's sitting here kind of moaning in his beard, Nancy, and says, hey, listen, I'm preaching to the choir. And even the choir isn't listening. We've got some real problems in the nation, and the king and the queen seek my life. And I'm the last guy in Israel to practice this life. And the big Mike comes to him and says, no, sir, I have reserved 7,000. 7,000. Boys and girls, I believe that in the United States of America, there are 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Now, that's kind of important because while there's 300 million of us in the country, the fact that there's 7,000, I'd kind of like to be numbered in that 7,000. And maybe Nancy is one of those 7,000. Maybe you are one of those 7,000. You ever stop and think about that? You know, gee, maybe you could be one of those 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And maybe you could be saved out of this. Let me give you an illustration or two. Back here in Exodus 23:20. You know, you got the IRS and the EPA and the State Tax Commission. You got all these government agents and agencies, you know, that are after you. In verse 20, he said, this is Exodus 23 now. Verse 20 says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I have prepared. Now beware of him and obey his voice and provoke him not, because this angel will not pardon your transgressions, because my name is in him. But if you will indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies and an adversary unto your adversaries. And my angel shall go before you and bring you in unto the IRS, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, and all the rest of these sorry bureaucratic so-and-sos. And I'll cut them off. You know, if you stop and think now for a second, you know, if you'd obey God and keep his commandments, that's really the bottom line. The patriot groups that I've been observing over the last 20 years aren't telling you that the problems that you have in America are being caused by God Almighty himself. They see it as the bankers and the communists and the politicians and all these bad guys over here that are deceiving all of you Americans and causing you to err. Oh, no, no, no. No, these people are complicit with the bankers and the communists and the politicians. They're complicit with them. I showed you that in 1 Samuel 8. It was the people that said, we want a king like all the nations around them. Now, there's a little bit more to the story. A lot of times people say to me, well, what do you get out of this? What do I get? Let's suppose that I did change my lifestyle, maybe change my job, and maybe go to work for some new employer, do something different. Would there be some reward or benefit? In Mark chapter 10, Mark 10, verse 28, listen to this. Then Peter began to say, this is Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. He said, Peter began to say to him, Lord, we've left all and we followed you. And Jesus answered and said, truly I say unto you that there is no man that has left his house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. That's pretty important. Do you get that? 100-fold now in this time. Not after you die and come up in the resurrection, not in some ethereal period of time out in heaven or something. He said, now in this time, before you die, I'll pay you 100 times whatever it is you lose. Some years back, I was kind of in hopes that when I made the change from Atlantis Manufacturing Company, you know, I closed out my business and got out of the commercial world. I said, I hope I lose $10,000 in the transition, because 100 times 10,000, 100 times 10,000 would be $1 million. God would owe me $1 million. And I said, as long as I'm leaving Egypt, I might as well get paid for it. And then I wasn't even upset with the government and the governmental system. You know, I knew how to play the game and I was making pretty good money. I just didn't like the bureaucrats telling me how to live my life, you know, telling me when to get up and go to bed and what to do in between. Now he goes to verse 30, says, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecution. Get that word, with persecution, Nancy. With persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. So what you're really after is salvation. You know, these religious guys are always running around telling you, are you saved? You know, hey, I'm saved, brother. Are you saved, brother? I was asking, saved from what? I didn't know I was in danger. Then they wax kind of eloquent, you know. Have you been born again? Not that I know of. I was born once, but I haven't been born again that I have any recollection of. And these guys, these religious guys over here, you know, they kind of lord it over you a little bit. Like, well, you poor dumb sap, you haven't been born again. Well, you haven't been saved. Well, you're going to go to hell and burn up. You know. My old daddy used to say, well, might as well go to hell and burn up with my friends, because if I went to heaven, I'd be a total stranger there. I won't know anybody. And I'd say that, you know, for most of us out here, you know, if you stop and think about it for a minute, you know, if you went to heaven, you know, you probably wouldn't have anybody there that you knew. But if you go to hell, you probably have a lot of your buddies down there. Now, that's all just kind of hogwash and poppycock, that heaven-hell thing. I'm not going to get into that, but at this point in time, I just wanted to point out that here we are in 2006, you know, and God hasn't left you without any hope. He hasn't said, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to stick it to you, and there's no chance, you know, that you're ever going to see daylight again. Over here about Matthew 19, there was a young guy who came to him one day, and he asked him a question. He said, hey, what do I have to do to go to heaven? What do I have to do to get eternal life? What do I have to do to get whatever it is that you're selling? And this is over here in Matthew 19, verse 16. He says, and behold, one came to him and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life, or that I may have eternal life? He didn't ask him if he's going to go to heaven. You know, this thing of going to heaven, you know, is just poppycock. But what about this thing of eternal life? And so he, this is Jesus, said to him, well, why do you call me good? There isn't anyone good but one, and that's God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. And when was the last time you had a preacher say, okay, you want salvation, you want eternal life, you know, you want the benefits, keep the commandments. You ever heard a preacher say that? Yeah, I haven't. Boy, that's going to be a cold day in hell when you have some preacher come up to you and tell you to keep the Ten Commandments. Now, I haven't had very many longshoremen, truck drivers, or plumbers come up to me and tell me to keep the Ten Commandments either. But I think that you'll find more plumbers, carpenters, and electricians who might tell you to keep the Ten Commandments than you're ever going to find some mealy-mouthed preacher coming up telling you that you ought to keep the Ten Commandments. But that's what Jesus said. So, you know, I hear these preachers, you know, preachers, you don't understand, and Jesus said, you ever heard the preachers? They wax eloquent, you know. Talking about Jesus, you know. So if you want to know what Jesus is saying, and you said, keep the commandments. So this, so I told this guy. And the guy said to him, well, which? You know, so that they're, you know, in case I've made a mistake, you know, should I be practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto? Or maybe I should be practicing, you know, some law from Uzbekistan? Or, you know, which commandments are you talking about, boss? And so Jesus said, well, you shall do no murder. And you shall not commit adultery. And you shall not steal. And you shall not bear false witness. And honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, boys and girls, let me tell you where you're going to find that law, that code. We're in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Now, he cited six of the Ten Commandments. The guy said, which? He cites six of the Ten Commandments. Now, if you want the whole law, the whole law, it's in Exodus 19:16 through Exodus 24:8. That's the whole Old Covenant. Want to have a little fun? Next week, you know, when you go to church, just walk up to your preacher and say, hey, teach, can you tell me where the Old Covenant's located in the Bible? The Old Covenant. Can you tell me where to go find that? And watch that fool stutter and stammer. He won't have a clue. Hey, listen, if you ask your preacher and you say, can you tell me where I can find the Old Covenant in the Bible? Not the Ten Commandments, the Old Covenant, the whole law, not just the Ten Commandments, not just part of it, the whole thing, the whole contract. If you find a preacher that can tell you where to find it, cite the verse, the chapter and verse, write me an email, would you, and tell me what that guy's name is. So that I can broadcast it worldwide, so that I can make a memorial of a Christian preacher that knew where the contract was located. Hang on. Let me get a little water and wet my whistle there. All right, write it down. It's Exodus 19:16 through Exodus 24:8. Exodus 19:16 through Exodus 24, verse 8. There's the Old Covenant contract. And in that contract, Jesus cited six of the Ten Commandments, which is the central theme of the Old Covenant contract. So getting back here to singing to the choir, I think that we need to sing to the choir and tell them, you know what the problem is here, is that we don't practice the law of God. We practice communism instead. The American people practice communism, the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, instead of the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, if you want eternal life, then you're going to have to practice the Ten Commandments. Now, there's a penal clause chapter over here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let me flip over there to that one. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, he said, it'll come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal your God to observe and do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Eternal your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Now, boys and girls, when we Americans practiced the Ten Commandments, when we Americans practiced the law of God, not even all of it, you know, but we practiced much of it, a whole lot more of it than we do today. We became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world, the world's number one economic, military, and political power. And then about 1950, started 1946, we gave God the finger and said, we want separation of church and state, and we've had that ever since. And we've been on the slippery slope, sliding downhill. We're the world's number one debtor nation. We're hated everywhere in the world. If there's anybody in the world that likes America or Americans, send me an email, tell me who they are, would you? And so he said, now practice my law. He says, all of these blessings shall come on you, and they'll overtake you, if you will hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field. We have riots in our cities, and then we have drought in our fields, and we have floods in our fields. He says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Well, boys and girls, the fruit of our body produces 5% birth defects in the United States. And then we have autism from all of the shots and the snake venom and monkey pus that we shoot into our kids. And our children turn out to be dunderheads because they go to public school, and they learn to practice communism there. Verse 5, he said, blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Eternal will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. And they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And the Eternal shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto. And he shall bless you in the land which the Eternal your God gives you. So he gave us the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and Western Europe. That's our real estate, boys and girls. And the Eternal will establish you a holy people unto himself, and as he has sworn unto you, if you will keep the commandments of the Eternal your God and walk in his ways. Well, that was kind of neat. You know, if we practice the Ten Commandments and walk in his ways, practice his statutes, he'll give us all these neat blessings. Now, we Americans, Canadians, and Australians, you know, for the last 200 years, boys and girls, we've been enjoying all these neat benefits. Now, in the last 50 years, we find that we got some bad problems. It's not just here in the United States. You've got it down there in Australia and New Zealand as well. You saw what happened to us in Rhodesia. We've been destroyed and thrown out of Rhodesia. We have been destroyed and thrown out of South Africa. Boys and girls, we're in the process of being destroyed and thrown out of Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and the United States. And Nancy Levant wants to warn you and tell you about that, and God bless her. And I want to come to you, and I want to tell you and warn you about that too, but I don't give a rat's rectum what you do about it. It's no skin off my back. I'm just here to deliver the message. And the message is, if you don't want to be destroyed from out of the land, if you don't want to be evicted, if you want these benefits and blessings, you got to practice the Ten Commandments instead of the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. But don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Go ahead and give me the finger and laugh at me, ridicule and make fun of me. I don't care. I got a thick skin. A little thicker than Nancy's, I guess. I'm not crying in my beard. But I'm going to deliver the message, and when I deliver you the message, the rest of chapter 28, you got to go pick this up. Chapter 28, because after verse 14, and he tells you, I'm going to give you all these neat blessings and neat benefits over here. If you follow instructions, sit down, shut up, fold your hands, and do what I tell you. And then if you don't, then here's what I'm going to do to you. Then read through the penal clause to the contract and see if what you're reading in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and the Washington Post aren't just about the same things that you're reading there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, because that's the way I see it. And that's the way I report it. So Nancy, from one singer to another, let's keep singing to the choir. All right, children, I'm just about out of time, so I'm going to wrap it up right here and remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and contact DISC. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. I got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.